Okay, so today is May 31st, 2017, and we're going to do lesson number 28 called Legs Crossed, Expanding, the Chest and the Abdomen. A wonderful lesson to kind of get back into the groove of things with. So, lying with your legs long, your arms down by your side, begin to take a moment or two here to start becoming aware of yourself, starting to notice how you're lying on the floor today. If you can recall the four points, the 2 points behind each shoulder blade and the 2 points in the center of your buttocks that we've been working with all winter and spring, and then creating a rectangle and sensing and noticing how that rectangle is showing up. Why don't we try this instead? Do both. Nope, there. Let's just, yeah. So once you have that rectangle, it's just, again, it's just a background for you to have a clear sense of yourself and what's going on. If one shoulder's higher, one hip's higher, you know, maybe at this point everything feels even, or one side feels different than the other, right? So it's just a reference for you to feel and sense yourself today at this moment. And then slowly and gently rolling your head a little bit to the right and a little bit to the left. Staying in that small range to feel the quality of rolling your head to that side of the right side and then the left side. And bring it back to center. And then let's begin by bending your knees, bringing your feet to standing. And we're just going to review, because we haven't done this in quite some time, the seesaw. I've called it before, the seesaw movement with your breath and your breathing. Okay? So to start with, though, just begin to witness your inhalation and your exhalation. Right? Don't change it. Try very hard not to analyze it, thinking if anything's good or bad. It just is what it is. So you just become aware. That's really all awareness is about, is noticing without any kind of judgment. In fact, the moment we start to judge what we're doing, you can't notice it anymore because you're in the thought process of analyzing. Let's put this under your head.
Thank you.
No, that's not enough. Lift. Let me double
okay.
It up.
All right.
I'm gonna just modify a little bit for you. Okay. Yeah, that's better. Okay, so now that you've sensed your inhalation and exhalation, what we do with the seesaw breathing is that you take a breath in, and my preference, this is just a preference, is when I take a breath in, I take it into my chest, right? So you take a breath in, and then you've got to hold your breath. That means you're not allowed to let it go, okay? But then what you do is you push the breath down to your abdomen, right? So then your abdomen gets big and the chest gets small. And then you suck it back up to make the chest big, right? And the abdomen pulls in. So it's called a seesaw breathing. But there's no exhalation, right? You inhale and try to seesaw, let's say 2 to 3 times, and then you exhale. And I know sometimes for people this can feel really scary, just holding their breath, not knowing how to do this. And what this is doing is activating your diaphragm. Because very often the diaphragm gets stuck, and that's very much associated with lower back pain. It's not about the lower back, it's the diaphragm. And that can come from sitting on airplanes, driving a lot, being bent over a lot. So again, take in a breath, hold, push it down, pull it up, push your belly out, pull it in. Corinne, that's beautiful. And then you release it. Beautiful, Elizabeth. So you take a breath in, hold it, and seesaw. So that's, but so Marlene, yeah, this is hard for you. I feel like your diaphragm is activated. There, now hold it. Now push your belly out. There.
Okay, but that's pushing.
Pushing.
Way down here.
Yes. Now suck it back up. No, don't tilt the pelvis. Okay, so you suck up, but you don't tilt the pelvis.
That way.
So you push down. There you go. And push. Push, pull. So it's a powerful muscle movement.
Okay, I focus
it's not
my whole life on just the pull.
Yeah, do not tilt the pelvis. There's no tilting of the pelvis. And try it like two times in a row. That's it. Push. Push. Pull. Push. That's it. Release. Okay. Are we good? Everybody good? Let's take a breath. So, a breath, a break. So you don't hyperventilate. So why don't you rest your legs? So part of the reason it can feel a little challenging, right? Hard, and it feels like a little work, right? Because it is work, you're working your diaphragm. But many of us don't recognize when our diaphragm has gotten stuck. To our lower back. Okay, so let's bend the knees again, bring your feet to standing, and now from here you're going to cross your right leg over your left. So you cross at the knees. Okay, so your knees are crossing, not your ankles. Knees, there you go. So throughout the lesson, memorize this, because then it eliminates how many words I have to say. So when you cross your legs, it's at the knees. Got it? And now you're going to slowly and gently begin to tilt your legs to the right. And I say slowly and gently because you need to control taking them over to the right. Because the right leg is on top, it's easy to go down to the right, and you could just let them kerplunk over there. That's not useful. So you go to the right, and then you bring them back up. Right, because this is introducing what I talked about in the email. You're introducing rotation to your spine. But we want to introduce rotation gently. Because rotation is the direction of movement that allows lengthening your spine. That's it. So as you take the legs to the right, you want to think about this rotation. And do you sense that you're rotating evenly all the way through your spine? Or there might be a place in your mid-back or lower back where it feels like a chunk, right? Again, this is just information and awareness for you. To become aware of, that's it. And how comfortable is it to take the legs to the right? Come back up, uncross your legs, lengthen them, and let's rest. And let's bend your legs again. Bring your feet to standing. And now let's cross the left leg over the right. So it means now, gently and slowly, we're going to go to the left, right? Now, Marlene, back up. What are you doing? Pay attention to what you're doing. What did you just do that's not part of what you're to do? Pay attention. What did you just do? What are you doing right now? Stop and feel. What are you doing with your right foot? Uh-huh. Why are you lifting your right heel? So everybody try that. When you tilt the legs over to the left, lift the right heel. Is that necessary? What does it do? Why would you do that? You're not allowed to say those words. That's not allowed. Why would you lift the heel?
To push off the toe.
Push off. Yeah.
Think about it. Everybody try it, and everybody come up with, I'm going to tell you, a different idea. Don't all think that there's one solution. What does it create? When you come on the toes, what does it create? Thank you. Right? It creates extra work. It's a non-necessary movement. It's not a requirement for tilting the legs. So when you find yourself, or I bring to your attention that you are doing a movement that is not needed in the movement that we're doing, you need to ask yourself, why am I doing that? Where is the weakness in my system? Is it about the hip, the pelvis? What is it about that I do that strange behavior that's not needed?
I do it in my boots a lot. I use my boots and I think,
why am I doing that? That is the very question you should be asking yourself. So when you're doing a movement as simple as this, you cross the legs and you're just tilting them down to the side, right? Part of where your attention should be is moving through your whole body to ask these questions. Am I clenching? Am I holding? Am I doing any unnecessary effort that is not part of what Sharon suggested? And if you find somewhere that there's unnecessary effort, you don't really have to come up with the reason why. Just stop doing it and see what the outcome is. You'll get the answer when you stop it. Do you understand that? So for Corinne, if you stop clenching the glutes, it's going to tell you then why you would want to do that after you stop doing it, right? Sometimes you don't know the answer until you change the behavior, right? Make sense? Okay, come back, straighten the legs, and rest. That's what makes this fun. It's not just coming to class and following the instructions. It's becoming aware of yourself. Finding what things we do in our life that are unnecessary, that perhaps could be creating some issues for us. And the only way you know is to remove them, to try something different. You can always add them back in. There's many things that might be very necessary, right? But I mean, really, how do you know what's necessary if you don't eliminate it for a while? Okay, let's bring the legs up again. Let's cross the right leg over the left. And let's slowly go back over to the right a couple times. Go over and come back. And again, you're starting to notice and observe, how is this side different? Again, do you have any extra movement that you do? And so when you go over to the right, here's the thing. There is no goal to get all the way over to the right, because that's actually too far, okay? So there's a place that you go to that I'm going to suggest is where you're comfortable stopping and hanging out there. If you go too far, it can be too much rotation. So find this magical spot for you, where it's not too far, not too little, right? That's it, okay? And stay there. And now you're going to introduce to yourself the seesaw breathing, right? So with the legs over to the side, right, this is going to change what you feel in your back now. You're going to take in a breath, hold it, and then push way down to the pubic bone and then pull it back up. And it really moves the vertebra in your back, not the pelvis, the spine. You okay, Marlene?
And that in itself is good
because that means this is not familiar. That's it. Push pull. No, you pull easier. Push.
Well, normally, when I was laying on my back, it was definitely.
Right, so take a breath in. Now push down. Way down, way down. Down, down, down. Down. Push my hand out. Push. Push.
It doesn't.
Push. There. And then suck it back in. And then push down. Yes. This is really important for you. Push out. Push, 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 yeah. And then slowly let it go. Bring your legs back up. Uncross your legs. Keep your legs standing in the center for a minute. And let's just tilt your pelvis a little bit. Right, this is what I said. You can do too much rotation, right? So you don't want to flop over to any side too much. So just tilt your pelvis a little bit forward and back. So here's my assessment. Okay, so, and this is important for everybody. If anybody else is having a challenge with this, right? When something's challenging, it means it's not familiar. And Marlene is used to moving her pelvis instead of activating her back and diaphragm. And then that makes sense why the SI joints get messed up. Okay, so it's an important learning. Okay, now, no tilting the pelvis. Let's cross the left leg over the right. Okay, gently and slowly go over to the left. Remember, only go to the place that it's easy for you, right? You want to find that comfortable place that you can kind of hang out to the left, right? You don't let the legs flop all the way over. Once you find the place, you're going to take in a breath. Hold it, and you're going to do the seesaw movement. Nice, Elizabeth. That's it, Corinne. Don't go as far, like there. better. Now, see, it's interesting. It's easier on this side.
Yeah, because we figured it out.
Okay, bring your legs back up to center. Uncross them. If you need to, so it's an if, you can tilt your pelvis. If you don't need to, just straighten your legs and see how things are coming along. Okay, let's bend your legs again, bring them to standing. And in this neutral position, let's try the seesaw breathing again. So take in a breath and be able to push down to the pubic bone and then pull it back up. So here's the thing, as this movement gets clearer, right? When anything gets clearer, it gets easier. Right, so when something gets easier, there's less effort. When there's less effort, it's more familiar. So this shouldn't be hard. But if it is, that means it's not familiar to you. Right? So what that means is, it means it's something that you need to learn. And then when you're wanting to learn something new, we then begin the process of developing the ease. Yeah, so one of the things I'm
going to
say,
have to focus.
I want you to put your hand here, okay. Because it just, you don't do this. So. I'm going to sit, yeah, and now push your hand out. Way down here. That's it. Now push. Push. Nope, don't curl under the pelvis. So think about, the push is like, I did this once
pushing
before.
A baby out.
It's like pushing a baby out.
Yeah.
It's like pushing if you have to have a bowel movement out. Okay, this is another reason why people have, when people get lower back issues, they have bowel issues. All the stuff we don't talk about.
Yeah, don't have bowel issues.
Push.
That's what I used to.
Push. Push down, way down here. There, without the pelvis moving. Now suck in without the pelvis moving. So the chest gets big. Now push there. Push down and out. And feel, right there, feel that length in the back. Now suck, yes. And it's not about tilting.
Yeah, a lot of tilt.
Sharon, you can be sure I'm doing it.
Pull up. But don't change, see, you can't take a breath in again. So exhale. Okay, so you only get to take one breath, right? And then go back and forth. Okay, so take a breath in and hold. Now, push down. Nope, you don't get to exhale. You have to hold your breath. Now hold your breath. Now push down. Now pull up. Nope, pull up. Push down. Nope. Nope. Okay, so take a breath in and hold it. Hold. Now pull it up. Pull the breath up. No, that's... up is to your chest, up here. Now, push it down. You can't exhale.
Oh, I see, you just do it.
You hold muscular. Your breath, yes. Pull it up, and now pull it up. That's pushing out, pull up. Okay, release. Does everybody understand it? Kind of. Push your back.
It's the same as tilting the pelvis, but I'm doing
right?
The same thing.
Okay, so rest your legs. Okay, so watch me, right? Okay, So there's no movement in my pelvis, so just watch. I'm not doing anything like, right? So it's like make your, it's like skinny yourself up. Okay? That's why we're doing it, because it has to do with the back. That's a nice word. It's divorcing it from your pelvis. When it is stuck to your lower back, then you're hypermobile with your pelvis. And it's not the lower back, right? So it's this part. It's not in your pelvis, right? So the lower lumbar is where the hyperness becomes, but where the attachment is of the diaphragm is in the thoracic here. So you see, when you suck it in, the change is higher here. Okay? Okay. Sometimes all these descriptions, sometimes you can say things, what, right? 10 different ways, and it takes that much, and visuals, and right, whatever it takes. There you go. But, you know, you said it so beautifully. You're like, oh, it's a muscle. Yes, this is a muscle. You're working a muscle. Just like your heart's a muscle. Okay. Bend your knees. Cross the right over the left. Okay, we're going to tilt gently back over to the right, and you're going to leave them there. And this time you're going to interlace your hands and place them behind your head. And you're going to gently lift your head to look down towards your knees, and then bring your head back. Right? So this kind of encourages this idea. So now the diaphragm is passive. Okay? Your spine is folding and unfolding, right? So we're going to piece it together. This is going to help the diaphragm. And now some of you, and I've mentioned this to you before. So again, you guys need to think about what you're doing. Okay? Think about where your elbows are. Right? What have I said before when your hands are behind your head? Right? Okay, I cannot keep spoon feeding you. It is your job to remember. What are the elbows supposed to do? Why? Where are the elbows to be? Towards the ceiling. Why? Because you're what?
Making a cradle for your head.
Making a cradle for your head. Why else, Barb? Why else? Why are your elbows towards the ceiling? Huh? Why is it easier? Why is it easier? Elizabeth, why is it easier? Yes. Right? You're folding yourself. If you're folding yourself, your elbows are encouraging the fold. Now, spread your elbows wide out and don't fold them, and lift your head. Okay? Do you see how you're back to doing effort that's not needed? Now, where else are you working really hard? You're making it hard. You're doing something contradictory. Right? So you go ahead, knock yourself out, have your elbows wide, and you're going to involve your neck and your throat. Right? I mean, this is just kind of a lesson today of how continuously you do things to make life hard.
Well, in exercise class, they want to make it as hard as possible.
That's a good point. And here I'm trying to make things easy. Okay. Let it go. Bring your legs up, uncross, and rest. Right? So there's all these little places that we work hard. And Marlene, that's a really good point. It's so crazy to me. But exercise classes demand and have you do things, and we're conditioned to believe things need to be hard for them to be useful. If we don't make it hard, we're not benefiting.
That's okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy making. Because it's completely the opposite. Only if you're in the ease is it beneficial. Okay, bend the knees. Let's cross the other way. So the left over the right. You're going to tilt the legs to the left, and then you're going to interlace your hands in the non-habitual way. You're going to bring them underneath your head, and I'm going to hope you learn something. Right? So you're going to lift your head so that you fold. Elizabeth is cracking up at me. You've been on my mind for the last 24 hours, Elizabeth. It's so nice to have you here, because I got your email and I was like, I wanted to talk to her about something. And here you are. So, yeah. And so, you know, so what you do is, it's sometimes nice to explore, right? Okay, try with the elbows open. Discover why that's harder. Don't believe me. Don't believe me. Think Sharon doesn't know what she's talking about. Because it could be harder for you a little bit differently. But you want to figure it out for yourself so that the next time your hands are behind your head, you know what to do. Excellent.
Well, I'm noticing exercise classes, so many of the ab exercises, this is my weak
link. Is your throat.
My abs are perfectly strong to do more, but I can't lift my head one more time.
Okay, rest. Come back and rest. Okay, so let's bend your knees again. Bring them up. Let's cross the right over the left. Let's just gently, once or twice, go down over to the right, sensing the rotation of the spine. How are things coming along? Does it feel smoother? Does it feel easier? Do you experience the sense that maybe your spine is getting longer? Excellent. Come back up and let's change the crossing. Left over the right. And let's go to the left. And in particular, in that area I pointed out, right, the lower thoracic, feel how much easier because of what we did with the diaphragm. Huh. Now, come back up. Let's uncross the legs but keep them standing. And now let's involve the upper body. So you're going to bring your arms up to the ceiling and you're going to bring the palms together. So palm to palm. Okay? Now, here's the constraint. Right? A constraint means that you need to maintain something. The palms stay together. That means no slippage. That means the fingers don't shift. They stay lined up. So that means some other part of you has to move to do the movement. And the movement is now you're going to take your arms over to the right. Right, so we took the legs. So if you have to keep the palms together, what has to rotate to go to the right?
Spine.
Okay. What shoulder blade comes off the ground?
Left.
Okay. And no bent elbows. So your arms are like sticks, right? So the elbow doesn't get a bend. The palms don't get a slip. So there's a big requirement in the upper back to rotate, right? And it's not about how far you go, right? It's just feeling that you can rotate in this upper back. Feel what your head wants to do. That's it. Come back. And let's try the same thing going a little bit over to the left. Right? So think about it. Elbows straight, palms together. What do you need to do in that upper back and shoulder girdle area? Right? Beautiful. Excellent. Beautiful, Marlene. Okay, come back. Let's rest your arms for a moment. And now let's cross the right leg over the left again. And gently let's take the legs down to the right. Right? And let's just see. Did something more happen? Can you now feel more ease in the pelvis because something's happening in the upper back now? Right? Right? Just feel how nice, you guys, right? Isn't that nicer? Right? And now let's change the legs and cross the left over the right. And then we'll go over to the left. Just a couple times and then we'll take a rest. Okay, come back and let's take a rest. Take a moment while you're resting to pull back into your repertoire here, your experience of yourself, your 4 points in your rectangle. Okay, so let's come back to bending your knees, standing your feet, and let's, in a moment, I want you to think about this first. We're going to introduce the breathing again, but what I'd like you to do first is I'd like you to think it out in your mind and your thought. Okay? So I want you to imagine yourself doing the seesaw breathing. And really create for yourself a strong visual picture. And when it's there, then at your own moment, when you feel ready, when you feel like I now am ready to duplicate that picture of what I see myself doing, then try the seesaw breathing. Looking for finding the ease in the push and the pull. Beautiful, Corinne. Right? Find beautiful, Elizabeth. It's the ease. It's really not hard. so much better, Marlene.
Yeah.
Right?
It's easier.
It's coming. Right? Beautiful, Barb, right? Like, it's so lovely watching you guys. You're doing it so slow. Right? So that's the other thing, is that when we truly don't understand or know how to move a muscle, we'll do things very, very fast and quick. But when we really understand what we're doing, we can do it very slow, very calm, controlled, with ease, right? It's a really nice experience. Okay, so now let's cross the right leg over the left. Let's tilt the legs back over to the right. Finding a place, don't go all the way, right? Finding a comfortable place so that you can introduce again with the legs hanging over to the right, the seesaw breath. And finding that same ease that you just did while you were on your back. The push-pull, it doesn't have to be fast, it doesn't have to be abrupt, right? The pelvis stays in control. So you really feel the power of this diaphragm muscle. And when you have control like this with it, it's amazing. There is no control when we're doing things fast and furious. Great. Come back up. Uncross the legs. Let's take a break for a moment, a rest. Lengthen your legs before we go to the other side. Okay, let's bend the knees again, and then let's cross the left over the right and find that gentle, easy place to the left, and then introduce the seesaw breathing. Right, just really enjoy experiencing how much control you have right now. Of just push, pull. It doesn't have to be violent, doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be fast. Because you now know what you're doing. So then it becomes enjoyable to push and pull. Excellent. Bring your legs back up, uncross them, but let's keep them standing. And then let's bring your hands behind your head, interlaced. And very gently, let's lift your head and just round your back a little bit after all this twisting, looking in the direction towards your knees. So a little folding and unfolding. Not using your neck, right? So this should feel, again, easier, right? Now, again, this is another way to experience the diaphragm working, right? Because the diaphragm moves down. You're on the exhale. It moves down, down, down. And it allows the head to float up. So what Marlene suggested earlier is so right on. You end up using your neck and your throat a lot. And it's not really just about the core muscles. It's because you're not using this diaphragm. It doesn't know how to push down to utilize the core, right? You see how these all go together? Excellent. Let it go. Let's rest your arms and lengthen your legs. Does that make some sense? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so if another way to say it is, if the diaphragm is stuck, it's literally impossible to activate your core. So you go to the neck and throat. But nobody talks about the diaphragm. Or not much. So sense how you feel lying there now. We started with just observing your breath and your breathing. You know, and what shows up different for you? I think this is the greatest thing about this work is whatever each one of us needed to learn or experience today is what shows up. And that's different for everybody in the room. I mean, it's crazy thinking to think that everybody's going to get the same thing out of every lesson, right? So just notice what showed up for you. And it's exactly what needed to show up for you. And trust that for today. Slowly and gently roll your head a little bit to the right and left and see how that feels now for you. Excellent. Okay. So let's go ahead and have you roll to your side, come up to sitting. Then standing, and we'll see how you feel in standing from this lesson. What the changes for you with the diaphragm, how you organize your spine and pelvis from this lesson.